On this Friday of the 23rd week, we're continuing along in Luke here, when we have Luke 6, this advice. I'm always amazed at, I don't know the right word, like the humility of Jesus. I mean, lots of wise men have said things like this, you know. You're always looking at everybody else's faults, then what about take a look at your own? And then if you get your own life straightened out, you could really be a help to other people, you know, one way or another. This is beautiful and poetic, but that the Son of God would take the time to instruct us into such a simple, basic thing and invest it with his own divine authority. I'm always amazed how, like when the fellow calls out and says, make my brother divide the inheritance with me. And he says, who made me your judge, oh man? He's God standing there. You know, it's just, and then he tells the story about the guy who had the great big harvest and knocked down all his barns and built bigger ones. And then says, and God said to him, you fool, tonight they're going to demand your life from you. Well, now, do we need the Son of God to tell us we're going to die? I mean, I think we could figure that out. But you see, the truth of it in a way that upbuilds us. You see, that's the beauty of the way our Lord speaks to us. He speaks to us about deeper things, of course. But at least if our life is in order, we'll understand the deeper things. Now, today, in the first reading, which is from 1 Corinthians, we're moving along, we're in chapter 9 now. We still have many heavy doctrines, deep doctrines, to consider in this letter, right? We have the Eucharist. We have the resurrection from the dead. We have many yet to go. This one, on this feast of the Pure Heart of Mary, gives you an idea of what a pure heart could look like. In a very energetic and heroic man. You see, if I preach the gospel, there's no reason for me to boast. An obligation has been imposed on me. And woe to me if I do not preach it. Well, when was that obligation imposed on him? When he was on his way to imprison and kill Christians. And Jesus came to him out of love, out of mercy, and changed his whole life. That's an obligation. If I do so willingly, I have a recompense. Unwillingly, then I have been entrusted with a stewardship. In other words, then I'm just working for a living. And what is my recompense? And when I preach the gospel, I do it free of charge, which is the great rabbinic tradition as well. Now, though I'm free, I have made myself a slave to all. Why is he telling him this? Well, you know, we've been introduced to enough of the community life of Corinth to know the way they are. I'm for Paul, I'm from Apollos, I'm for Cephas, I'm a big shot. I got the gift of this, you only got the gift of that, you know. And he's saying, grow up. You know, these are all gifts. And they're all to exercise, to build the body and to make people know the gospel. I've made myself a slave to all so as to win over as many as possible. I don't know why that reminds me, but it does. I was 23 years old in the monastery, and the abbot and his council had decided I should be the assistant novice master. I, you know, just got out of the novitiate myself a little while before that. So, of course, I said yes, sure. Well, everybody left, and the old abbot looked at me. And he said, well, young man, you've been obedient. Not outstanding, but you've been obedient. And now you're going to learn what obedience really is. Because in order to get along with all these people, and there were about 30, for whom you are responsible, you're going to have to break your will at every moment. Now, you don't think about that, but you see, there's a difference between a leader and an organizer. and deceit. And that's what Paul is saying here. I made myself a slave to all so as to win as many as possible. I've become all things to all to save at least some. They've got to know Jesus. And whatever it takes, I'll do it. That's a pure heart. You see, it's now, somehow we have inherited this idea that God is a really nice guy, and whatever we do, well, you know, we'll all go to heaven. It's not true. I mean, we know how merciful God is. But mercy implies that he's forgiving something. If we're all just fine, a little cosmetics here and there will be okay, you know. We don't get the picture. And besides, my friends, just walk down the streets of any city in the world and see the destruction of human life. Look at the terror in people's eyes. They have no idea if there's a God or not. And so they're working hard, and drinking hard, and they don't even know where they're going. And they could get stuck in deep sin and get their heart so hard that even when they're offered salvation at the moment of death, they're going to turn it down. That's what he's saying. So I can win over as many. And all this I do for the sake of the gospel, so that I too may have a share in it. I'm not guaranteed either. Do you see this pure heart? How he's driving? But what's on his mind is what? That the desire of Jesus Christ, that all come to know him and be saved, be realized. That's what's driving him. I've said this many times before, but it's still worth saying again. John Chrysostom, who's a great fan of St. Paul, probably his greatest fan in some ways. And he says, look at the way this man is working. Look what he's doing. You see now, what is driving him? And you might say, well, it's his love of Jesus. Chrysostom says, no. It's his knowledge of the way Jesus loves him. And so, knowing that, you know, he's backed up by the love of Jesus. He's got to let people know of this because the issues are eternal. Isn't that so beautiful? So then he says, but you've got to be in shape for this. You know, all the runners run, but only one wins the prize. Run as so to win. That means put yourself to some trouble. If you want to run in the Olympics, you're going to train for the next 4 years till the next Olympics, right? That poor young Chinese fella, the hero of China, was supposed to win, I think it was the 100-meter hurdles. And his picture was on all the billboards in China, you know, waiting for him to win this thing, and he got an incredible cramp and couldn't run after all those years of training. I felt so sorry for the guy. But he's young. You know, you can train for 4 more years and give it another shot. And if they can do that, can't we fight for a prayer time? Can't we turn off the radio and pray? You know, can't we get out of bed? You see what I mean? Look, they're doing that for what? So now his name is on the billboard. We're talking about eternal life. Okay. No, I drive my body and train it, for fear that after having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, there is a smart man. He's not saying, you folks don't realize, you know, I'm St. Paul. In the first place, he didn't even know he was St. Paul. It's just a beautiful text. And it is to see in another way this pure heart that Mary has, this consumed with love for God, and therefore concerned about everybody and everything.